everybody. Today, we're going to be talking about Doctor Strange. We're going to be talking about Spider-Man Homecoming. We're probably going to talk a little bit about Luke Cage and all sorts of other stuff. Sit right there, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk.
Hey. You think people are raging about that?
Just pure, just like animosity. Just like, no, we're going to talk about it.
Every no, we bit. Better talk about it.
No, we better it's talk Friday. About it. It was said, it was Friday.
It was said out of irony.
I think it was said out of
the
irony.
The sarcasm didn't translate, so just rage. Just like, she was like, oh, hey.
It's our last show before Luke Cage happens at us.
You're saying the exact same thing that my fiance says, and that is that I'm actually terrible at sarcasm.
It's the dryness. Oh. It's so
because
dry.
Because I'm so
you're
dry.
You're so earnest.
Like, I'm so earnest
yeah, you're also
what I
like
say.
The most huggable guy, so when you're sarcastic, you're like, he's just sweet. Look at him being sweet
he's
over there.
He's not a mean man.
There's no way there's sarcasm in that heart of gold. That makes sense.
We are the Marvel Movie News coming to you live from Seagate Prison. Not for real. We're not actually in a prison if you're listening to us
yeah.
on
we're about
iTunes.
To break
we're
out
not
anyway.
Actually in a prison. But this is episode 101. We've gone over the 100 hump. Now we're 101. Second century of our shows. We will tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us at youtube.com/ Popcorn Talk Network. Also, popcorntalknetwork.com. On Twitter, we're at Marvel News PTN or at The Popcorn Talk. Also on facebook.com/ Marvel News Show. And guys, if you'll tweet a link out to our show with a message telling people about the live chat, Doom will retweet you from his booth. Are you in Liveria today,
Doom? Doom is vacationing in sunny Los Angeles.
he
came in search of that magnificent man Ghost Rider.
Oh.
Showed up. Ooh, yes. East LA is a very strange place.
Doom, save it for the talk when we actually get to S.H.I.E.L.D. You don't need to talk about Ghost Rider now. We're not there yet.
All right, well, Doom wants your tweets regardless.
So, everybody, if you're not familiar with me, I am Matt Key at The Matt Key. We're joined by Coy Jandro at Coyjandreau. And I do not have Markeia's Twitter memorized yet. So, Markeia McCarty.
It's my name.
No, well, I know, but can you spell it out for everybody?
At MarkeiaMccarty.
Yay! I want to get the cadence down because I know I say Coy's the way he would say it, so I'm trying to get yours.
Oh, is it?
It's appreciated. Yeah, I got that Eminem rhythm. It's a memory
mnemonic. Yeah, it's a memory mnemonic. Yeah, exactly. I actually can't spell anything. I just remember the way other people spell it. So you've already heard the voice of Doom in the booth, We've got Colt Bedeau tweeting from the Star Jammer as usual. Everyone give him some love. He does our social media stuff for us. And today we're joined by super fan Darren Jakes.
Hey, everyone.
Darren Jakes, the super fan, the Marvelite who's not on the Cosmic Couch.
Hey, Marvel's first family is now a yeah. member is on the booth of magic.
He's boothed.
He's feeling so special.
He's crossed the rainbow bridge yeah. over to here, and now he's one of us.
The rainbow bridge to Valhalla.
Welcome to Asgard.
It's just me and Thanos.
This right here is Yggdrasil. And this it's not a box, it's Yggdrasil. So you can see the lightning. It's kind of
there you go.
Yggdrasil-ish.
Works.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. Do you guys want to jump into the news or do you have anything that you want to discuss before we do that? Darren, why don't you tell us about yourself? You have your spa in Pasadena.
That's right. I have a spa, Côte d'Azur, in Pasadena.
It's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're try to spoil everybody who comes in. It's all family owned, so
they do.
You don't try.
That place
try.
Is amazing.
You succeed. You succeed, sir.
If you're on any of the West Coast, make it to Pasadena for that purpose. Like just anywhere over here, it's amazing.
Yeah, you guys are so kind. Now, we care very much for all of our clients. It's you know much like the viewers make the show, the clients make the business. So if we don't take good care of them, then we don't get to do well.
And it's incredibly like planet friendly. I just must note that I go to a lot of spas, and it's very like they waste a lot and they destroy a lot and it feels like I'm enjoying something at the cost of the planet and like my grandkids will have less because I have more and it's pretty awesome that it's a very sustained thing and I appreciate that.
Thank you. Yeah, one of the few green spas. We don't have any of the fancier showers and jacuzzis and things like that, but we do put all of our effort into just world-class massage and body treatments and making you feel like a totally different person when you leave than when you showed up.
I think as long as gluttony doesn't hurt others, you should indulge in it. And
yeah.
it doesn't there.
Yeah.
So.
It's not gluttony, it's self-care.
That's it. So,
I'm obviously going.
Yeah.
You absolutely should. All right, well, let's talk about the news. I'm in a sing-song mood today. I hope that's all right with everybody. So, Doctor Strange, there's not a lot of news that came out. However, so we've got a lot of pictures that we're going to run through. But Slash Film released, and maybe a couple other websites, I only know about Slash Film, just this morning they released some interviews that they have. I see Benedict Wong, Benedict Cumberbatch, and Scott Derrickson. Although there's a lot of quotes in there to dig through, and I just learned about it like 5 minutes before the show, so I haven't had time. I saw a couple things in there about from Scott Derrickson talking about extra-dimensional entities and the motivations behind Cassilius, added to a picture that we'll show you later. I think maybe he's referencing more into Shambhala and maybe Dormammu. But I'm going to have to dig through all that, and I will come back with a solid report next week. Where I'll basically do like a book report for everybody. Nice. That's what I'll do, and I'll stand in front of the class, and I'll dress as my favorite character, and I'll read it.
I expect three supporting arguments, a thesis statement, a bibliography at the end,
okay,
and a diorama.
And a magic diorama. It better have actual magic in it.
Better have a clear thesis statement throughout.
I want at least 12 body paragraphs. With a clear topic sentence starting each one.
Double spaced.
All right. Can I tell you about one of the biggest school blunders I ever made, just very quickly?
Oh, yeah.
I took an English class, my very first English class, my freshman year. We had to do, like, the professor would alternate the spacing. So, every single week we'd have to turn in a paper. And it was, the first paper was, like, 2 pages double spaced. The next week's paper was two pages single spaced.
Yikes.
And then it would alternate. So the very last paper was 10 pages single spaced. And I was like, whew, okay, crack. And I wrote it. And she's like, no, this is way too much. It should be double spaced. I'm like, but that's not the pattern. She's like, I know, but you should have read the instructions. I need you to cut out like 6 pages at least. And I was like, ha ha, do. So kids, don't do that.
Always read the instructions.
Always. Yeah. I'm an overachiever, if you couldn't tell. All right, so I'll get back to you on the Doctor Strange stuff next week. But we will say, let's look at some pictures. Doom, just throw up some pictures. We're going to talk about these pictures. A lot of new pictures were released.
This is the coolest one.
This is the best picture ever taken in the history of humanity.
I thought you might be hyperbolic, but you really just turned it down there.
No. Yeah. Irony. I get that. I saw this picture going through them yesterday, and was just like, if I were Scott Derrickson, I would quit. I would just quit. Like, I would no longer make movies. I would be like, you know what? I directed Doctor Strange, and I took a picture with Doctor Strange in front of his window to the world. I'm done. Like, I'm done. Like, I was in the Sanctum Sanctorum. I am finished as a director. Don't need to do it anymore. Just the way the light is pouring in, the way it just, like, it's so cool. I almost want to cry. There's nothing to say. It's just, like, it's Cumberbatch and Derrickson talking on set, and it looks really cool. So... That's it. Like, I think we can quit our show now, everybody. This movie comes out in 6 weeks, and this is all you need to see.
I think what I love about this photo is that it's so clear that they actually built this set and didn't build like that giant window digitally.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
No, that's a really good point because they absolutely could have.
That's a physical place. Like theoretically, the mind of Matt Keith could enter. Like it's some form of your life. You might actually get to walk into the Sanctum Sanctorum.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Doom, are you going through all these pictures? Are you showing them to the audience right now? Sorry. Okay. So I like this picture, and here's why. This is like we've seen in the trailers that Doctor Strange, like as the sorcerer, the master of the mystic arts, ends up back in the hospital where he used to work with Christine Palmer. And I think she's an actual surgeon. Like in the comics, she's a night nurse, but I think she's an actual surgeon here. So I think it's probably Dr. Christine Palmer.
I like that there's that flip then.
And I think that's an important flip. Like, women can't be doctors. Like, oh, come on, 70s Marvel.
No, Claire Temple was a doctor. They changed her into a nurse.
Exactly. So, like, I'm glad to see that they did that. But in that picture, it's like you see Dr. Stephen Strange, the physician, now as a master of the mystic arts, reuniting with, like, his old life and somehow, like, making that connection. And, like, you know, Kevin Feige has said that she's the thing that grounds him.
An anchor.
Yeah, that's the exact word he uses. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I like that picture a lot because it's like, it's enticing because it's like, what's going to happen? Like, what is that conversation? Like, so you used to be one of the most talented neurosurgeons in the world. You broke your hands and you went and became a sorcerer. All right. Like there's something crazy going on there, and I can't wait to see what that is. So,
you're like, so when do the Burning Man drugs wear off?
Yeah, exactly. So, LSD, I get it.
I've been tripping for 10 years. Help me, hospital.
Help me, Dr. Christine Palmer.
I've been seeing symbols on my hands in reality.
Holy wholesome. Oh, God.
I've been tripping since the 70s.
I've tripped through generations.
Only Rachel McAdams can save me. And other thoughts you might have on LSD.
Yeah. And then we've also got some pictures of, like, Doctor Strange learning how to do, like, martial arts and Tai Chi and stuff like that. So, which we already know, but, like, I wonder if there's, like, different ranks, like the tunics. Some of the tunics are red. Some of them are, like, white. Like, I wonder if there's, like, different.
Kind of like Star Trek?
Yeah, like all the white shirts are going to be engineering, but the red shirts are clearly going to die. Yeah, and you know she would tell EG4 Barrymore, like it's just picture after picture of just pure gorgeous beauty.
As if we weren't excited enough as it was. This is just bringing everything further up.
And it's in 6 weeks. I looked at the calendar today. It was like, 6 weeks. Which also means, by the way, my wedding is in 7 weeks.
I really enjoy that there's like that 1-2 pop. So you're like, I'm really excited. But I also need to add the comma that I'm getting married the next week. And that is also very important to me.
Yeah, you should have a pre-honeymoon and go to London.
And see it like the week before.
Exactly.
Yeah, that because we don't have wedding planning the two weeks before our wedding. We'll be done. We'll be completely finished.
Yeah, right.
We're on easy street.
I hear weddings are really stress-free.
Oh, super easy. Super easy. Yeah. No, sarcasm.
Is Rachel McAdams blonde?
Wait, in the picture?
In this photo?
I think so. I mean, I can't really see it from on the TV from here, but...
It looks pretty blonde. Mm.
She's been blonde before.
Our TV's a little darker in here.
Yeah, our TV's pretty dark. This is Scott Derrickson. He's about to start beatboxing with Doctor Strange. I don't know why he did that on set, but maybe that's how he gives direction.
I like to imagine he does all of the hand moves, like, while he's directing, like...
Oh, my God.
Because, like, his hands there are very specifically poised. Yeah. I like the idea that he's like, Benedict!
No, but so, when I talk about all the Doctor Strange interviews next week, after I've had, like, a week to digest everything, one of the I did see a quote in there where he said, like, Doctor Strange is my character. He's the only character I would want to direct a Marvel movie for. Like, I knew, like, he was my favorite character growing up for this reason. And it's just like, you just pulled quotes from my brain. So Derrickson probably does know every single hand motion and all of the spells. And yeah.
I literally read the news story.
We should be best friends, is what I'm saying.
Oh, it's going to happen. It's just, that's how the world works. Mm-hmm. I was reading the story this morning and I was like, oh, this sounds like Matt talking about Doctor Strange. I was like, I can't even pretend to quote this because these are Matt's words. It's just some other guy saying them. Oh, he's the director about
the director.
Good news.
This is very good news. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say he said his influences for the film were in the Shambhala, all the Ditko stuff, and the Oath, which are like the Doctor Strange stuff. So it was just like the fact that he's like Ditko. I'm like, yeah. I've already said the quote. From Kevin Feige that Rachel McAdams is an anchor to Doctor Strange's past life. This is in Empire Magazine, by the way. Mads Mikkelsen, talking about Casilius, said Casilius, is a man who believes in a better world, a world without human tragedy, but his means are quite different from the ones Doctor Strange is using, therefore conflict. So that, to me, sounds a lot like in the Shambhala, but with the roles a little bit more reversed. So in the Shambhala comic, the Lords of Shambhala approached Doctor Strange and were like, we can help you make the world a better place. We can show you the way to make the world a better place. You just have to jump through these hoops to prove that you're worthy of this gift. And he's like, oh, yeah, let's do that. I want to make the world a better place. I want to heal humanity completely. So once he jumps through all those hoops, he discovers that the Lords of Shambhala are like, great, so all you need to do to make the world a better place is basically kill almost everybody. And we will help you reset the world. He's like, no, that's not making the world a better place.
It's like the greatest Doctor Who plot ever.
Yeah, yeah. So I think maybe It sounds a little bit like that, but I also know that there's some stuff with Dormammu that just came out today too. So maybe they're mixing some of the storylines up. I know Marvel likes to do that a lot.
I love that too. I mean, I talk about it all the time, fairly often. But I love the fact that we get to, like, we know the comics. Like, that's something we know. But we still get to have a new experience because of them reaching out. And I think they do it with respect to the source material while also being new. And that's something a lot of studios wouldn't do. And I think that Marvel having their own control has allowed them to be both original and classic. And that's really unique. So thanks, Marvel.
Yeah. No, Marvel does a really good job of, like, taking those classic storylines, but making it fit into the cinematic universe and still surprising us.
Fox did it with Deadpool. Like, Deadpool was not a story that existed in a comic. Like, people always ask me, like, oh, what's that based off of? I'm like, 12 books? Like, it's so many different things.
It's the same with Guardians.
It's like little hints there and there, and then they like totally expanded and exploded.
And it made it so perfect. And then, like, Guardians, you're saying, that turned into the comics in a way. Because Star-Lord now is much more Chris Pratt than the Star-Lord before Chris Pratt. And that's really fun, because, like, when life imitates art and art imitates life, you get an entirely new world. And I was really worried, and I actually we talked about this before, when they announced that S.H.I.E.L.D. characters were going to be in the comics, I was like, but now that it's been like a good year and a half, I love it. I think it's great. I think it integrates things. I think it's super positive, and it gives new readers and old readers alike something different to talk about.
I
love the merging of those worlds.
So let's Doom, did we go through all the pictures? I'm sorry, I've been prattling on over here.
Well, there was this one from Empire that came out like 2 days ago, just of the two of them.
God, I love that. Oh, so there was some chatter on Twitter about how maybe this is a dream sequence, because Strange doesn't have his goatee, and but he has gray hair, and he didn't have gray hair when he was a doctor, and I don't think that's correct. I think that he's always had like the gray streaks in his hair. I don't think that happens after he loses his hand. So I think this is just a scene at the beginning of the film where the two of them are like reminiscing old times or flirting or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was kind of just wondering what was going on in the background. I mean, what requires a doctor and two nurses, and it's not in an operating room?
Drug deal.
No, oh, okay.
Drug
okay,
deal. Yeah. Yep. 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 They are very clearly growing marijuana.
There we go. Yeah.
New York. It's not like California yet.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
exactly.
Breaking Bad too.
Yeah. Yeah, they're making blue meth. Yeah. And then there's a picture of Casilius in a what looks like a beautiful church. So, anyway, let's move on real quick to Strange is mostly confirmed to appear in Avengers Infinity War, which we all were already guessing. And it's not 100% confirmed. It's a quote that Cumberbatch had to Empire, where he said, "The logistical challenge of aligning his schedule with those of Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, Elizabeth Olsen, and Paul Bettany to get us all together will be quite something. That's why this character is being introduced, to open up the next chapter, so watch this space to see how that unfolds." So he's saying, like, the logistical challenge of getting all of us together for one film is going to be crazy, which it is and will be, but that... while that's not confirmation, that's basically saying they're trying to get us all together because I'm in the film and they're all in the film too. So, again, I don't think that's a surprise to anybody.
No.
So, Coy, do you... I know how much you love to talk about Doctor Strange, but I wonder if you would mind if we moved on to Spider-Man talk?
I've been sitting here playing the Deadpool theme song for like a lot of it, so I'm just like,
What's the Deadpool theme song?
Like, that's what plays in my head when I'm just like waiting for that to happen. So I'm good. Is what I'm saying. That's the summation.
Okay.
I think we're allowed to move on.
But okay.
There's more to talk about, of course.
I mean, are we can just skip Spider-Man and go straight to Infinity War?
Oh, you don't want to skip Spider-Man?
I'd like to talk about Spider-Man.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't you?
I believe right before the show, I was like, "Hey, Doom, there's a picture that meant a lot to me, and it's literally just Tom Holland standing. And if there's any way we can make that part of the show, that'd be real swell."
And then Doom did that because.
And then Doom did that.
I got you. I got
because Doom is Doom.
Now, I'd like to point out that I started following Tom Holland's Instagram a few months ago, and at first I was like, "Hey, Tom Holland, he's like a really like attractive teen heartthrob guy." Mm-hmm. So before they were filming, it was just me feeling like weirdly insecure about looking at a teenage boy being like, "Hey, what sunsets?" But now it's been validated because Tom Holland is Spider-Man, and that is like a straight John Beter Jr. picture from the 90s comics.
It's a good picture.
Really look like that really man's good. Face is Spider-Man. That man's hair is Spider-Man. That costume is Spider-Man. The lighting is Spider-Man. That is a screen grab from a comic that doesn't exist because it's in 3D and in my life. Thank you, everyone ever, because everyone ever in the planet had to do the exact things they did to cause this image to exist. Oh my God. So I'm thanking you, the viewer. Thank you for whatever you did, whatever you had for breakfast, whatever you've ever done in your life. that helped this.
Thank you, history of humanity.
Thank you. Seriously. Everyone that ever did a thing.
A butterfly flapped its wings in a park.
And Spider-Man, Spider-Man happened.
All of us working together made that happen.
The human summit of my life is this image.
That's it. That's a proof of humanity's evolution right there.
Like, I thought Andrew Garfield was the closest to Spider-Man I'd get until I saw Tom Holland. I always thought Tobey Maguire was a good Peter Parker, but I never felt like he was Spider-Man, and I get a lot of crap for it. Spider-Man 2 is a near-perfect film. I get it. I agree. But this is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
There's no part of him that isn't exactly what I always imagined Spider-Man to be.
He is Spider-Man Peter Parker. He's like Marvel. Like, he's
it.
He's the full summation of everything that is that.
And that's because humanity got me here.
Yep. A butterfly.
And I am narcissistic enough to thank you all for getting me here. My God, that's amazing. I don't know. When I saw this picture, not only did it revitalize my love for Spider-Man that had been waning because of certain writers, but it also reminded me that every single kid gets to have a hero that's their age. And mm-hmm. When Civil War came out, I talked to this a lot because when I go to the movie theater, it's amazing to hear kids cheer and identify with someone and really and really know what they're getting into with having a hero their age. But like that Spider-Man is that. And this picture.
Yes.
Is this
put
happening right now? Is this happening
picture,
at me?
Please.
So this kid, this young man, this very cherubic little boy, might have loved Spider-Man since he was about 4 years old. And this kid gets to see Tom Holland as Spider-Man. And that little action figure and that shirt and that binder on a podium, that's actualized. And that's amazing. And Shocker's in it too. Like, I'm just, couldn't be worse.
Those that haven't follow Koi on Twitter, and why haven't you? This is him. This is 90s Koi with that little rat tail.
Yeah, we gotta call attention to that rat tail.
That rat
down
tail.
To his that belly
rat
button.
That let the record
that's
show.
An epic rat tail.
That was pre-episode one. I was a Padawan before it was a thing. Like, that rat tail is straight from when the 80s didn't let it go away, and I just held on to it.
So you're to blame, is what you're saying?
Yes, I influence Anakin is my fault.
For those of you who are listening to us on iTunes and don't, you know, you can't see these pictures, we apologize, but there's a picture on Twitter of Koi. How old are you in this? Five?
I'm like five or six. I'm young.
In like this epic photo studio, and he's wearing a Spider-Man shirt with the Spider-Man toys and a Spider-Man binder and the biggest smile ever.
Worth noting, that Spider-Man shirt is custom hand-painted by my mom.
What?
So my dad traced a John Romita Jr. drawing because he's my favorite Spider-Man artist, and then they traced the animated logo, and then my mom got paint, like the shirt paint, and hand painted. That is a one of one shirt. And today's my mom's birthday. So
what?
Happy birthday! I didn't know that picture was going to happen at me on my mom's birthday, but now that it has, she made that shirt. My parents have been supportive of me loving comics since I could read. My dad gave me my first comics. He got me to be this person, and then my mom supported me that. So I want to thank my mom on her birthday, my parents in general, and everything that allowed Marvel to become my family. Like, it's so important. So and thanks for sharing that journey with me, guys.
Yeah. And by the way, we should point out that we mentioned all of this on the show last week and like just glowing about that picture because it's amazing. And then your mom is the one that tweeted it at us.
Yes,
like,
she
here's
did.
The picture. I was like, oh my God,
here it is.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting at the job site just like, this is happening.
No. So anyway, let's move on to the rest of these pictures.
There are others?
There are a lot of others. Doom, can you give us some of the pink pajama pants and shirt? The crazy shirt that says, like, I survived
my trip to New York.
My trip to New York City, yeah.
Yes.
So, what do you think is going on here? Like, why? Like, so first of all, let's say they've wrapped filming in Atlanta. They're done with the studios in Atlanta. Now they're doing some location shots, and everything that all the pictures that I've seen so far appear to be like almost like wild shots.
I got a theory.
Like,
about
make it a little bit more New York.
Exactly. Yeah.
My theory, and it's super Ditko Spider-Man, it's super classic era, is that he had his clothes in a backpack. Uh-huh. Had to put the backpack down because he was taking pictures. Uh-huh. Backpack got swiped because he's in New York.
Uh-huh.
Had to find whatever clothes he could.
That is my exact theory.
And man, I hope that happens because that is so classic Spider-Man. It's just like the dude's an underdog and then he gets kicked around. Like he's already struggling. He's already going through some stuff. And he's probably got to go to school like this, I imagine, or he's got to get home. So I love that they're going that way with him.
Yeah, no, I love that. Fun. And to throw into this, there were also a couple of videos taken where he was changing into his Spider-Man outfit. So I took some screen caps of it as best as I could. From Twitter, but it's him, like, he rips his shirt off, like, he rips his shirt off and kicks his pants off, and then roots around in a backpack and pulls out a Spider-Man outfit. Then the next picture is a different video. You can see him, like, doing his best to pull it on. You can see, like, the little spider logo on the back and everything. Like, he pulls his hood on. He's like, oh. Then there's some more video of him, like, running out of an alley. Like, he throws his backpack down, runs out of an alleyway, and then you see that classic...
If that's a zipper, I can tell you from personal experience, that is horrible to try to get all the way up to the neck. It's like he's Spider-Man. He's basically a contortionist.
He's got to like thwip it with a web and then pull it around.
If he doesn't have like
awesome.
Some,
that would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Either that or he carries around thread to put down in the zipper to be like, ugh.
Oh, someone's dying. I've got to get the zipper up. Doom, I don't know if you have it, but there's a classic picture of him doing like the thwip, like where it's like diagonal. I saw it earlier. I think you've got it in there somewhere. But that's what I think is going on, is he's running into action, then he gets his backpack stolen, then he goes back to his backpack and he's like, oh, come on.
Yeah, exactly. Like I just did all this and there still, cause that's Spider-Man.
God, look at that picture though.
That's Spider-Man. We did it.
We did it, everybody.
We did it, you guys.
We did it.
If there's a reason to invent a time machine, to go forward into time, it's to catch that movie right now.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I've never been as excited for anything, and Deadpool was this year. I've never been... Because Spider-Man since I was 4, Deadpool happened because Spider-Man wasn't being written right, in my very selfish opinion. So when Spider-Man is now back to being Spider-Man, there's nothing more exciting. Like, the election is happening, and even if my person doesn't win, I'm still have Spider-Man. So it's getting me through some tough times.
Well, if there's any way to say that how much Marvel has hit its stride, it's with the number
pictures.
Of films. It's all of this right now. Every film, we go, oh my God, this is the next thing. And the next film comes up, and we're, oh my God, look what they're doing with that. And the next one pops up. We're like, oh my God.
The fact they shot four Stanley's cameos at once is how much faith they have in everything, and how much they should.
Yeah.
Like that I keep bringing it up because I keep forgetting how exciting it is. And you're like, no, we've already reported that. He shot four cameos at once. They're invested like 6 years into the future, even in cameos. They're such a finely oiled machine that they're going to be like, oh, let's just shoot that in a day. Okay, cool. And then they put it in the movie.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Well, and I was going to touch on this later, but while you're talking about it, Marvel Studios talked with Disney about the next decade, like 2020 to 2030. Like they're already laying the groundwork for that, which... I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. There's part of me that's like, maybe we end with phase three and that's okay. And then we take a break or maybe I don't know. Like I haven't decided. Like obviously I don't want that to happen, but there's a part of me that's like, maybe we take a break. Maybe
like breathe,
take a breath, let this saga end and then restart a new saga. But I don't know. I don't know.
I'm on both sides because there's enough material that you can keep going forever. But there's also like the superhero fatigue thing. But I also think that as long as and hopefully if smaller movies can keep being good, they'll happen more because right now it is really hard for small films. It's really there's no such thing as a middle budget film anymore.
No.
There's under $20 and $10 million films, and then there's $100 million, $200 million, $260 million Jurassic World. That's crazy. They can just build the park at this point.
Yeah.
Just make Jurassic Park
make
and film it.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah. Make
just make it happen. So the fact that these things are causing that middle to die is hard for me because I really love dramedies and I really love rom-coms that have a little budget and stuff. So I am of both sides, but I also know that when I was a kid, this is all I ever wanted, and now kids are getting all they ever wanted. So at the end of the day, we're shaping superheroes. Like we're having kids have something to look up to and have a moral compass
all day.
It is worth...
I think... I think it's possible if as long as they keep on doing cross-genre with it. Mm-hmm. Like how Jessica Jones wasn't just superheroes.
Exactly,
you know,
yeah.
It was more than that. And it was extremely relatable. It was gritty. It was crime drama also. So as long as they do that, then they can always have a little bit of sprinkling. We don't have to have it hugely epic after phase three is over, but we can still have it as part of like the language, part of the dynamic.
Yeah. And I just want to go on the record and say that I swear to God, if Marvel cannot do like a Fantastic Four thing in Phase 4, like if Fox just is like that stubborn, oh my God, I'll be so mad. I will be so frustrated. Like, I will be so, like, and it's not even that I'm a giant Fantastic Four fan. I mean, I love Fantastic Four. I love Reed Richards and all of that. But Fox just, they can't, like, they've done the X-Men well. They killed Deadpool. That was great. But they can't do Fantastic Four. No. And just, please just stop. Just stop. Look at what Marvel's done for Sony and Spider-Man. Just stop. And stop. Just stop. I just stop. Okay. I'm moving on. Moving on.
Pull some strings. Make this happen.
It is just worth noting that Feige has been on the record saying like they always have multiple plans in place.
Yeah.
Like before Guardians came out, they had multiple. They had a whole plan of attack should Guardians have failed.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why that announcement of like the next 5 years moved to October instead of at San Diego.
Yeah,
because they were scared about Guardians.
Yeah, as they should have been. That was like an untested thing. That was wacky. And what are we doing? But then like that confidence paid off, and they finally saw the finished product, and were like, nah, we're gonna make like 1,000 of these sequels. We're good. So.
Yeah, I think they've embraced their joy basically with it, and that's the thing that's selling.
That's a great way to say it, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what it's so funny that they embraced their joy, and then when that happened, the CW was like, "Hey, let's make the Flash and let's make it bright and optimistic. Let's just give it a shot instead of like dark and dystopic like Arrow. Let's do that." And then the CW took off. Mm-hmm. I think people. Like, just audiences in general are like, hey, you know what sucks? A lot of stuff that's going on in the world. I don't want to watch stuff suck on TV. Or
be happy over there in the movie theater. Escapism.
Yeah, yeah. It's escapism. Like, there's still room for drama. There's still room for that stuff. There's still room for going to a film for catharsis and great narrative and great story and everything else. But I think, in general, the world is like, so this election's a mashup of horrible. Let's...
Shiny objects.
You know, so I think that there's a lot to say for Guardians being like, here's the joy, and Marvel going, this is awesome, embrace that, you know.
100%.
So I think that's it. Well done, Markia. Well done. We're all proud of you. We're all proud of you for
you
that.
You did this for us. You brought us this. Thank you.
Yes.
A butterfly flopped in the park, and Markia said that.
That's true.
That there quote. You go. So, thank you, humanity.
It's all connected.
Yeah.
Thank you for being a lot today, guys. We appreciate you.
So let's talk Avengers in...
Avengers?
Did I just say Divengers?
That's a Defender-Avenger combo medley.
Yeah.
It's the French version.
Avengers. I just... like so upset every person in France with that. We just lost all of our French readers.
I'm sorry.
Before
we move on, Paul Grant had a good thing to say. He said, this is why Daredevil and Flash are so great, because we've got gritty and we've got lighthearted.
Yeah.
Totally agree. I think a balance
is
important.
Totally agree.
So I think I love the Netflix arguably more than the movies. So I think having a balance of both is really important. And I think that going forward, as long as they maintain that, we won't have that burst.
But here's the thing that I think, and maybe I'm completely wrong because I'm biased, and that's completely fair criticism. But I feel like the Netflix stuff that they do with Marvel isn't gritty for the sake of gritty.
Agreed.
Where I feel like maybe with Arrow and the DC stuff, and again, biased. I know, Twitter rage me all you want. You're probably right. But it feels like they're like, we should be gritty because the Nolan films, those were gritty. So let's be gritty. And Marvel's like, no, this is like... not a great world to be in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it gritty, and that's an unfortunate side effect of the story.
I love the Nolan films because they were art house films in a superhero world.
Yeah,
like their darkness wasn't gritty for the sake of being like, you know, David Fincher's a good director. What if everything's like him? Because David Fincher's my favorite director, but they all have a style that is substance over style, and that's the difference between like movies then, movies now. And I feel like Nolan Batman films haven't been topped.
Yeah,
yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes into that cross-genre thing. where it's just like it's different things that you can relate to, mm-hmm. but it's presented in a finished product. It's like, oh wow, I didn't even realize that I wanted this, but now this is in my life, and now I want this some more.
Yeah,
and the right storyline at the right time, like getting a John Hughes Spider-Man now, brilliant, yes. and maybe later we can have a Craven's Last Hunt, and that will be dark because the storyline's dark.
You know, what story, like, oh my god, man, if they could find a way to do Craven's Last Hunt,
you can't do that. So as long as the source material and the writing and everything calls for it, make it as dark as you want, but make sure that's the reason you're doing it, not for the sake of like. Dim the lights.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's really gritty? Gritty. Let's make it gritty.
Yeah.
Change is going to be pouches. Like asphalt.
all right, so let's talk about Avengers. Let's talk about Avengers. Avengers Infinity War is going to start with the exact premise of the Infinity Gauntlet comic book crossover series as opposed to the actual Infinity War storyline. This is according to Latino Review Online. Marvel's Avengers will feature the Mad Titan Thanos trying to impress the personification of death.
Right?
Yeah. No, I mean,
it's huge. Are you shrugging off death?
No, this isn't a surprise. I don't feel like that's a surprise.
This isn't a surprise.
I felt like it was a surprise. I didn't think they'd go there.
Really?
Even after Mjolnir holding Thor, even after Guardians of the Galaxy, even after everything, I never thought they'd be like, death incarnate. Sure.
But
that's insane!
But I think with Doctor Strange, that is opening the door for them to do that, because now they're showing the different dimensions and the demons and stuff. There, it's like, okay, now we're introducing you to this part of the world, so when we bring up a personification of death, everyone's already on for the ride.
Oh, I mean, I'm super happy.
And then of course,
we'd all be on for the ride, but we're talking everybody else would now be like, oh, okay, this makes sense. I've been introduced to these ideas, and now I can see this is part of the universe.
So now the Infinity Gauntlet can exist because we have everything in this one movie, in this one place. And, of course, we have to have the personification of death because Thanos has to impress somebody.
Right. Yeah. No, I love that it's a thing. I was shocked. I'm still incredulous that it's an option.
And here's the thing. This is a total rumor. Like, that's another reason I'm just like, all
right. Right.
Like, I hope that that's true, and I think that it might be. Like,
totally
because
makes sense.
Marvel has proven it's like, we're going to send the Guardians to nowhere. It's a giant severed celestial head. You get that, right? Like, they've proven they're willing to go to that weird cosmic WTF sort of side of things. And audience was like, do that more. Like, we like that. Like,
we like it.
Giant celestials with giant staffs killing entire planets with a little bitty singularity? Sure, on board. Let's do it.
Yeah. And I wonder where they're going to go with the storyline. I mean, are they going to have it where Nebula's the one that, you know, grabs the gauntlet from him? Or are they going to go in a different direction?
Where are they going with it? Like, it's going to be in, like, is Adam Warlock going to whip in and it's like, here's phase four, everybody. Like, welcome to this wacky character. Like,
yeah.
Like, yes, where's Magus?
Yeah.
Where is he?
If they do Magus. Oh my god. Nerding out. Okay.
Moving on.
And we will all happily go with the ride.
Yeah, we will. Magus? Sure, bring it on. Let's
just
see
cast
the church.
Right. As long as you cast right, here we are.
Yeah, let's see the Church of Universal Truth. Let's freaking do it. To me, it's like, this is coming from, like, a 50-50 source where it feels like it could just be a headline. You know, like, Latino Review sometimes is like, knock, we got this out of the park, but then there's other times where we're like, no, but it's death. But it's for real death, okay? I hope people click on this link. So, I hope that that's the case. I think it could be. But whatever.
Yeah. I think LRM got it right this time. I feel like
I hope they did.
I hope they did. Path to go down.
We're not going to talk about this because we don't have time, but just to throw it out there, Civil War is not over yet. According to the Russo brothers, they said, we always thought of this movie as the start of the war. It's not over yet. So Infinity War, like everything else, they're probably going to still be dealing with
it. So everyone that made fun of it being civil skirmish, it was because it's starting a bigger thing.
Yeah, yeah. Here's a big thing. Does T'Challa's ring have special powers? Black Panther's ring is special to him because it was worn by his father, the King, according to the Russo brothers, but then they went on to add, when he puts it on for the first time in Civil War, it's symbolic of him taking on his father's role. As for its powers, we will have to wait for the Black Panther movie. They're neither confirming that it has anything or denying anything.
I think that's just some sweet bait.
I think,
like,
so, too.
I don't know. I rewatched the movie, like, 3 times this week, if I'm going to be perfectly honest.
Only
with you.
3?
In that,
and that was just in
thing.
One night.
But there's a moment when he's fighting the Winter Soldier after he's re-brainwashed, where it looks like there's a magnet in his ring holding his metal arm back. So go back, if you go back and watch that scene, like, Winter Soldier's arm just, like, sort of, like, freezes, like it's being held, but there's nothing physically holding it back.
I think it was more like, because the ring's vibranium, and it was just, like, one of those.
That was how I took it.
Yeah,
but
I mean, when I saw
it, it was clear that the ring was doing something.
I think it was more like a call and response type of a thing between, like, metals.
It could also have just been we'll like see. Some really awkward fight choreography that just wasn't noticed until late.
Well, there was a surprise on Bucky's face. Like, he wasn't sure what was quite happening. I don't know. I may be overreading it.
He might have been surprised at a Black Panther's strength and agility. Though.
That's the way I took it, because yeah. I think I know exactly the scene that you're talking about, and I always took it as, like, I've got a metal arm. How did you stop this? You know? but here's what I think would be cool, is if it doesn't actually have any powers, like, fight-wise, mm-hmm. but it has, like, the soul stone in it that allows him to connect to the forefathers, and, like, only the king can connect to the forefathers. That's where my head went. I don't know. That was kind of my... I was like, oh, that would be kind of a cool thing. Did we already talk about the Untitled Fox film and how that's coming out on IMAX? I think we did, right?
We did not.
No.
I don't yet. Believe so.
Did we not?
No.
But
not
now
there.
We have.
As long as
that entire headline,
we're fine.
In 2018, Fox has an Untitled Marvel film coming out in IMAX. There you go.
We don't know what it is.
Have no idea what it is. No, I don't know. We have no idea what it is. And to me, that is not news, because to me, that's accepted fact that that Fox will have a film coming out.
But IMAX is so much more exciting than that.
No, that is very exciting, and it would be awesome to see the New Mutants there. Or
I love IMAX so much. IMAX is what I thought James Cameron thought 3D was going to be. IMAX is, I think, the next state of cinema, because it's so much more immersive. Like, true IMAX. Mm. A lot of fake IMAXs, because they sold their name, are just, sure. Big screen. But IMAX, when you're in that right slant and you're experiencing the movie, you're, in an airplane soaring with heroes.
Yeah.
And the fact that Fox and Marvel are making something that I can, fly with some... IMAX is transcendent.
Yeah. No, okay. No, but here's the thing. They didn't announce the entire film. They weren't Deadpool 3 is going to be filmed entirely in IMAX.
Because I'd be dead.
Well, no, but the
I would have had a heart attack right now.
The next two Avengers films are being filmed completely on IMAX.
Which is insane.
Every single scene. Even scenes I'm talking to you. Oh, are you? That is going to be filmed in IMAX.
I'm with you! Yes, they're talking!
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
He's coming out of me right now.
No, but remember the first time you saw the scenes in The Dark Knight that went full IMAX and you were in the theater, you were suddenly and it changed everything. Mm-hmm. And Chris Nolan's next film, that World War II film, shot entirely in IMAX. IMAX is capable of having you feel when you're a kid and you're in a movie theater where you're so ingrained. So the fact that Fox and Marvel are investing already ahead of time and announcing it, I think, is a very big deal.
No, I totally agree. But again, there's nothing to report, because they're also doing Maze Runner, Predator, and Alita. Those are also going to be IMAX films in 2018.
Shane Black, Predator, so excited.
Maze Runner, I thought that was held because of...
I don't know. Maze Runner was part of the announcement.
They restarted production.
They did.
Yeah.
On Death Cure?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
But the Fox movie is heretofore untitled. So all we can do is speculate what the 2018 film is going to be. Which is fun to do. I kind of didn't see it as giant news.
That's
fair. Fox is going to do a Marvel film.
Well, it's literally giant news, because it's IMAX.
Get out. You're an idiot.
I love that you're so about it. I'm just I'll pay for this movie. This fits in my time frame. I don't care if it's 3D or IMAX. I'm great. I need to see a 2 o'clock movie. See that one.
I'm anti-post-conversion of both IMAX and 3D, but when something is shot in native IMAX, I don't even... If it's Meryl Streep talking and reading the dictionary in IMAX, I'm I will be there with you, Meryl. Tell me more about onomatopoeyas.
Onomatopoeyas.
Yes.
She's there with me.
I don't know if you can plural that. Onomatopoeyas.
That is now in the dictionary she's reading. I've done it. But it's a very unique experience, and I'm very obviously excited.
All right, so you get one thing to say when I ask this question. What do you think the 2018 Marvel Fox film will be?
Someone go first.
I'm saying it's going to be New Mutants. I think it's going to be the New Mutants film. I think that a lot of the speculation is leaning towards that. Okay. So.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big...
As long as it's not Fantastic Four, I'm perfectly happy.
All right. Still a good answer.
Off the list. Yeah.
I'm going to say it's Fantastic Four.
You get out.
I'm
going to
say it.
Stop it.
I'm going to say it.
Stop it. But is Marvel and Fox teaming up? Or is it just Fox doing it?
It's probably just Fox doing it.
Then get out.
I'm sorry.
Stop it.
But
get
probably,
out.
I'd love for them to team up together. I love that. But...
What I want it to be is finally the first film where Marvel and Fox have teamed up and something with X-Men and Avengers. That's not what it's going to be. That's what I want it to be.
Yeah.
And I accept that dream as a dream. What I think it will be, because of the success of the first one,
imagine if Deadpool 2 put half its budget literally into the cameras and the other half keeping the budget small, mm-hmm. but the film large. So yeah. you have the maintained limited sensibilities of a low budget film to keep Deadpool mm-hmm. his core, but you shoot it in IMAX, so everything's scope is insane.
That'd
so
be cool.
It'd be full banana sandwich, but yeah. still.
All right, we got to move on. We got to move on. Yeah. I like the answer.
They're both dreams.
Yeah. Because we got to get to Luke Cage, but first we have to talk to Doom about S.H.I.E.L.D. Go, Doom,
oh,
go.
Man.
You're unleashed. Go.
but keep it tight. Keep it tight.
You're long leashed.
As I keep getting interrupted.
Keep it tight because Luke Cage.
We just
on
keep
Friday.
Interrupting. All right. All right, Doom, your time's up. Sorry. Thanks,
sorry,
for, thanks for calling in.
Put it on Twitter. Put it on Twitter.
Look, I mean, I talked about it for an hour last week, and I'm still talking about it. Ghost Rider looked unbelievable.
Oh, so
like all the concern that we had that it was going to look like that Yahoo photo that they put out was dissuaded pretty quickly. The transformation scene that they had was just great. The team has basically been completely separated, which is the interesting thing, because it puts all the characters in a new dynamic where like Simmons is like weirdly in this motherly figure, and I think they actually put her on platform shoes to make her taller than
did they really day. That's interesting.
Yeah, we found a photo where she's like because she it looked like she was taller.
She did look taller.
Confronts May, and they literally put her in platform shoes. But Ghost Rider, if I could find the photos, yeah, this just looks.
I have
so
to
good.
Admit, I have to admit, some of the pictures that were coming out, I was like, all right, like, I like S.H.I.E.L.D., so I'm like, I'm on board for the Ghost Rider, I'll see this. Mm-hmm. But then, like, S.H.I.E.L.D., like, they far surpassed my expectations of what that was going to look like. I was like, whoa, that's Ghost Rider, that's amazing, that's so cool. Like, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was super fun, and I thought they handled the character really well.
It's they managed to do a great just like blend of the Robbie Reyes helmet-esque skull and the traditional Ghost Rider actually being a skull, because you can see like the veins of it that you see on Robbie Reyes' version, and the fact that he his fight with Quake, the penance stare that, like, didn't affect her, the deeper meaning behind that and what that's going to imply with her like drug addiction at storyline from last season is huge, and I'm actually really looking forward to tonight's episode, which is going to see the new director revealed.
Yeah,
see what that means. I'm still saying it's Jim Hammond.
Oh, dude, there's no way it's Jim Hammond. He's not going to catch on fire and be an android.
Well,
but that would be awesome.
They've introduced and we met our first like real life LMD in Aida last week.
In Aida, that was great.
So now, if we want to talk about artificial intelligence, and they did say it was outlawed after Age of Ultron across the world, I think the Human Torch is a great way to go.
Those are
my 2 cents. More tonight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Time.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right.
Can
yes.
I say that was the first clip that has me considering going back and trying after trying every year since it started.
Dude, honestly,
it was very,
very
cool.
Honestly, it was very cool. Really cool.
Because
like,
that
like,
Ghost Rider looks better than the movie Ghost Riders with 8 times the budget.
100%. 100%.
That's TV. That's ABC.
And that looks amazing.
And they're really using their 10 p.m. slot. The first 5 minutes had a guy get his spine pulled out.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
As you do.
Yeah. Yeah,
but like, they've totally taken advantage of their time right there. I think really spot on.
Cool.
I'm gonna say officially, I'm gonna watch this season, you guys. I get a lot of guff from the fans, and I love you guys. So for you, and because of that,
so
I'm gonna do it.
So challenge,
we have won.
So a quick challenge to the fans: somehow write a haiku or something to catch Koi up on what's going on in this season.
That
if you can find a way to summarize where S.H.I.E.L.D. is at for Koi and just tweet it at Koi and our Marvel news to catch him up so he can watch and know what's going on.
If it's a haiku, use the 575. That'd be easier.
Yeah, that's way easier.
I will read my favorite 5 next week.
Awesome.
There
Love
you
it.
Go.
All right.
But
we
speaking
are moving
of Nick
on.
Cage.
Yeah, Nick Cage. Marquia.
Actually, that's pretty close.
Like,
that's pretty close.
That's what he named himself after, so we'll just change right over to
Marquia, I want Nick you, Cage. I know you're super excited about this. I want you to take this conversation and run as far and as fast and as long as you want.
Okay. Oh, all right then. All right. Let's do this. Great.
Like, I've got stuff listed here. I've got quotes. I've got my favorite moments, but of the trailer, what we're excited about, everything else. But this is your Doctor Strange. This is your Spider-Man / Deadpool. And I want you to just run. Can I put you on the spot and do that?
Sure.
Because I can start the conversation if you prefer. I don't mean to put you on the spot.
But. No, this is cool. Okay, so like it's the latest trailer, the last trailer.
Dropped actually, yesterday,
that we're going to get for Luke Cage. If you haven't seen it, it's like 2 minutes, 30 seconds. It is well worth watching after our show's over if you haven't seen it already.
Don't watch it now.
No. But there's a number of things with Luke Cage. I'm sure you're already familiar. I mean, there's been all the advertising out for it. And if there hasn't, Koi and I do a Please Explain Luke Cage. I believe we both have it on our Twitter, so you can check that out.
Screen Junkies, right?
Not gonna lie, we killed it.
Yeah.
Let me throw this disclaimer out there for the trailer before you get started. A lot of trailers, especially closer to the release, spoil the hell out of what you're about to watch. It's like, oh my god, remember that Doomsday guy? Here he is. This trailer doesn't do that. This trailer isn't a spoilery trailer. This trailer gives you some great moments. It shows you what you already know is in the show, just expanded just a little bit more, but it is a great trailer.
Yeah.
I love this trailer.
It's perfect. It's perfectly seamless. I mean, it speaks to people that have no idea what Luke Cage is, and then it speaks to actual, you know, people from OG Luke Cage, and then people from like the latest Luke Cage. I mean, so this first picture that's up here, you have, this is Misty Knight. She is a New York police detective, and she's supposed to be like working with the bomb squad kind of thing. I don't know if they're going with the bomb squad angle with this, but this is her realizing that Luke Cage was in this firefight and he's not hurt, but there are bullet holes.
He should absolutely be hurt.
He should be dead.
Yeah.
And one of the things, Chio Choker, he's the person that is like the head honcho for Luke Cage. You know him from Southland and I believe Notorious. I think he wrote for that. He didn't realize at the time he didn't aim for the political ramifications of having what's basically a bulletproof black man walking through, you know, a hail of bullets. He actually likened it to the Terminator scene where you have Arnold Schwarzenegger walking through the police station.
Yeah.
But then, of course, the times that we live in. Oh, can you put that back real quick? There's actually a cameo by Stan Lee in this.
He's
a poster.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you can see it in the trailer. It's right there on the see a crime report it.
Nice. Okay, so with this trailer and why it responds to OG as opposed to and new fans too is because it tells you that this is like a crime drama. This is not necessarily a rags to riches so much as rags to hero kind of a story. Because the thing that always got me about Luke Cage is that he started off as a gangbanger and then he wanted to do the right thing. And then because of circumstances with when he was experimented on to Seagate Prison, he winds up with, in the OG comics, they call it steel hard skin. And because of him just wanting to be a good person, to be the best kind of person that he could be in those circumstances, he then becomes a hero for hire. You know, which makes sense to me.
Makes total sense.
You know, if I ended up with bulletproof skin and I'm like, oh, I still got to pay my rent, let me make this work. But with the trailer, it shows you like this, some of the things that he has to go through. Like they have this character, Cottonmouth, which you see is played by Mahershala Ali, who's amazing. But they show that in this trailer. So you know that you have that main antagonist. And then you see that there's a political bent with it because you see Mariah Dillard, who's supposed to be cousin to Cottonmouth Stokes. I don't know if they're going to go that round with it. But also in the OG comics, Mariah, although she's called Black Mariah, 70s. She's called Black Mariah in OG comics, and she's like very huge. She's a very massive. Huge person. But the thing with her was that she would she had this whole company thing where ambulances would basically take people that were hurt, people that were freshly dead, and they would rob them and then
they were
dump
robbing
the body.
Cadavers, basically.
They were, So it's interesting to note, like in the trailer, that there is an ambulance, which is I know you saw that, right?
I was like, oh, I wonder.
You wonder because she's obviously the politician, and even in this trailer, they have Cottonmouth going like, "You need men like me for you to stay in business."
Yeah,
and then there's even a scene further in the trailer where it looks like you have a shot of Mariah against a brick wall, mm-hmm. and then you see Cottonmouth throw someone off the top of a building, and mm-hmm. you have to wonder if she's one of those three people that's standing there mm-hmm. on that roof, because then that takes it to a whole nother level.
Other level where she is what, like, I mean, I read somewhere, like, where someone, a quote someone said, where she combined with Cottonmouth are like Kingpin, basically. But, like, she's more of the political bent, he's more of the gangster bit, whereas Kingpin's, like, a bit more of a whole package of both politics and gangster.
Yeah.
She's Kingpin as a politician, he's Kingpin the gangster, and together they form.
Which
that sort of tri-
is
that
awesome.
Duo, yeah.
Because that gives her plausible deniability, which
yeah.
makes it really strong to have two heads
yeah.
that are, you know, doing these same crimes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And she can just, like, put all the blame on him. Like,
mm-hmm. and he can take it, because then, oh, you know, something happens politically or, mm-hmm. like, with the law where, oh, he ends up off mm-hmm. on a technicality that she helped
uh-huh.
make happen. So it's like that's a really powerful duo for Luke Cage, just this regular guy mm-hmm. with these powers all of a sudden, and he has to, you know, make that happen. Okay, so I do have a couple of questions
yeah.
with this trailer, please feel free to chime in with it. All right, so, and I see, like, your moments thing, mm-hmm. bringing up... Well, first, I want to bring up the timeline of things. Where is this Luke Cage happening in the timeline with Jessica Jones? Because what I'm wondering with it, because we obviously have Claire Temple involved with Luke Cage mm-hmm. with this, and that's an OG also. Well, she was Dr. Claire Temple, but mm-hmm. we're not going to start on that.
Mm-hmm.
So when Luke Cage is in Jessica Jones' apartment and Claire Temple comes to then try to, you know, use the syringe, and obviously she can't get past his invulnerable skin. She, to me, it acted like she didn't know who he was.
They've clarified that this is post Jessica Jones. However,
yeah, this is a few months after Jessica Jones.
They've hinted that there will be flashbacks, but the bulk of the show takes place after Jessica Jones.
Okay. Well, then that makes sense, and that's going to scrub away some
things.
That
answers all that.
That answers that. Okay. So then with a Misty Knight, they have in this trailer where Misty Knight, and I noticed this was on your moments, mm-hmm. Matt, where she has a smear of blood on the mm-hmm. right side of her face. She's sweaty against the wall, and she's like,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
it's the arm?
I don't think it's the arm there. I think maybe that's just like a regular she got shot sequence.
Okay.
And it's like, okay, you know, so far so good kind of a thing. Just for the simple fact, like, she loses her arm, like, basically protecting mm-hmm. other people, you know, in that mm-hmm. bomb mm-hmm. attack where she just, you know, 3, 2, 1, she doesn't throw it mm-hmm. far enough. I mean, I guess it could go the route of maybe Luke Cage is there and shields the rest of her body
mm-hmm.
and then just the arm mm-hmm. is out there. But I don't know. There wasn't enough blood and she wasn't hurt enough for that to
That's
be
fair.
That, the event.
I didn't take it as like her arm got blown off
yeah.
and she's just like, oh, I'm just chilling here with my arm just completely severed. I took it as like, maybe she's been shot or injured in mm-hmm. such a way that they're going to have to amputate the arm.
No,
and like...
no, it has to be the bomb attack.
Oh, okay, it has to be the bomb. Has to
it's,
be the bomb.
It's her origin, man.
It has to be.
It's like an ant biting Spider-Man. Doesn't play.
No. It has because the reason why it has to be is because it has to be like national attention enough for Stony Tark to
Stony Tark. Love it,
Mr. Stank. Yeah,
mirror
that yeah. ultimate Tony Stark.
Yeah, I'm telling
Tony
you,
Stank.
For him to notice to then replace, you know, her arm, you know, with Stark Industries.
Sure.
I mean, it has to be that big. It has to be this hero cop moment, and I don't
okay.
want them to take
that's
from
fair.
Her.
That's fair. I hope that they don't. But like that, I mean, I was like. He rescues her and she's got a bloody face on her right side. Is this the arm?
But one thing that Coy brought up when we were doing the Screen Junkies thing that I don't think it made the editing floor. He brought up about the musicality of Luke Cage.
Yeah,
if you wanted to
beautiful.
Like... Because I know that you were really feeling...
It's probably the thing... Quickly, my thought on Luke Cage, since this is the last show before we all see it and the world changes.
Right.
It's the last time we'll have this. I love that we don't know a thing, pretty much. Like, you know Luke
yeah.
Cage like crazy.
Yeah.
I know Luke Cage fairly well. I don't know what the show is. And they've had, like, 10 minutes of trailers...
that haven't revealed very much in the 13 hours. I love that. Mm-hmm. So the musicality aspect, and we talked about this when they first announced it, is that they want it to feel like that. Mm-hmm. They want it to feel like you're listening to a good album. They want each track to lead in the next, each episode to like have a flavor and influence the last and the next. And I love the idea of binge watching mirroring our original binge watching, which was albums.
Yeah.
Like you, nice. Young whippersnappers may not remember these days, but there used to be a time when music was good enough you listened to every song. There was like we used to have a culture with music where it wasn't just trying to sell a single moment. You'd try to speak to a people through an entire experience, and that experience was community related. Like, cause you'd play an album, you'd go out and talk to your boys about it. You'd have like an experience where you'd share, and that is Netflix now. Like Stranger Things was an album. Stranger Things is something that you play, you experience, and then you freak out with your people about. And Luke Cage modeling themselves to do that is brilliant. So I'm super excited about the idea of it not just being like a greatest hits. It's literally an experience that you play with. So thank you. And this is the last time we won't know what that means.
Yeah.
I know.
Really, I'm so excited.
I couldn't get off of work, so I'm going to have to just...
Oh, no.
I couldn't get off of work.
Oh, no.
I literally...
So you're just going to go without sleep then, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
I disconnected my internet 2 months ago to see how long I could go without internet because I'm trying to be more worldly and, like, read more books and not have the internet.
Okay.
I'm getting the internet back Thursday at midnight. I'm like I'm getting my internet back for Luke Cage, and I've lasted 2 months completely without it.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I was going to end my Netflix.
Were you really?
I just re-upped because of the show.
That's so funny.
Marvel will not let you.
Yeah, Marvel's like, by the way, every 3, 4, 5, 6 months.
Reel you in.
But yeah, for the musicality aspect, and I love in this trailer when you watch it, when you finally watch it or watch it for the fifth time, like I will. they even have Method Man at the end.
Oh, I love that so much.
I love it so much.
And that he was Method Man. He wasn't playing somebody.
No, it was Method Man. It was PLO style. Method Man.
And the switching of hoodies. Like, yes. That was so much. Like,
oh.
Oh,
my God. Oh,
so
excited. The tangle web we weave.
And if you're not watching Atlanta, watch Atlanta. Don Glover's new show.
God damn. Is it out?
Oh, dude, it's like 3 episodes in, and it's so good. The writing and acting feels like you're hanging out with your friends, and it feels like Dazed and Confused for a different audience. It's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Something that it has in common with this Luke Cage, from what I've just seen with the trailers, is that it's not trying to be something that it's not. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not forced in any way. Mm-hmm. It is so... It's so smooth. It just
mm-hmm.
flows.
Mm-hmm.
This entire thing flows, and it just seems like this is going to be just a really good. It's a revisit for some people, and then it's going to be a really good look into a window of culture for others.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think that's what Netflix has done really well with each one. You know, with Daredevil, they had the action movie, and then when they brought in Jessica Jones, it was the noir, and now we've got Luke Cage coming in, and it's kind of a little flashback to the whole 70s stylings of movies, plus now they're adding the layers on top of the music. It's like every time they jump back into the world, they're just diving further and further into it.
Because the world's so deep! Mm-hmm. They've built a universe that we haven't reached the end of in years!
Well, and they've got so many people...
And we still have
people,
defenders to look forward to!
And they've got so many people that have loved this project or all these characters for so long and now able to make these films and make these shows. It's like... The depth and the layering on each one is just, it's just
thing,
astounding.
When we talked about it on Luke Cage, on the Screen Junkies thing, I talked about how when you had the behind-the-scenes interview, not only was it zealous fans, like you're talking about, like people that loved it and cared about it and put their heart into it, but these people were Method Man. And like, members of the fact that I was watching a behind-the-scenes on like about Marvel and it was like some of the best rappers in history and they care about Luke Cage to that level, I was like... They found a source that we would never have otherwise. That's
amazing. Everybody
amazing.
Connects in with and is just like, yes, give us more of this. How can we contribute? How can we make this better?
And can you imagine 10 years ago, imagine like seeing that? Like, I can't.
Oh, no.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want to point out one thing. Like, you covered everything. but there was one part that I wanted to point out. Mariah tells Cottonmouth in the trailer, you need to take his ass out, find his weakness, and squeeze. And then they immediately cut to Claire Temple almost getting hit by a car, and then a shot of Misty Knight. So that to me says, he's bulletproof. We are going to have the hardest time. You're a gunrunner, and we're still having a hard time killing this man. Mm-hmm. So kill them. Yeah. And I think that's going to be a big part of the series is Luke Cage like trying to save them and keep them safe and do his thing. That's all I want to know. Oh,
yeah.
I also think that the scene, It's a very quick thing, but Luke Cage tossing a dude into the police car while the police car camera is recording. Like, I feel like there's something so deep and so metaphorical about that, but I haven't hit on it yet.
Oh, it's pretty on the nose. But, I think it's right there. Like, I'm not going to comment because I've been a white guy my whole life, but I love it.
No, exactly. And I'm just saying, I'm like, I want to be able to talk about that, but I don't know that I should or can.
My commentary on the show next week is going to be real calculated because I know I've been privileged my whole life and I know I'm upper middle class and I know I love my life, but man, these people have seen some stuff I'll never experience, but that shot gives me so much faith in Marvel for showing the other side that I'll never know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
I love y'all.
It's hard to be like this excited for something that I literally have never experienced. And I want more people to know how hard that must be, because I don't. Yeah. So, goddamn.
We need that perspective.
We do. And that's literally that perspective. Yeah. That is the best word for it. That perspective. That is a police car. Like, God.
It's interesting. TV Guide called it the most important show of 2016.
Whoa.
Earlier this week. Exactly because of that, because of the ramifications. And not just because it's about that, because there's lots of TV shows tackling the issue, but because it's a superhero film, which gives it an accessibility that most shows don't have, it's going to be able to show off these issues to people who normally wouldn't see this kind of stuff on screen.
All right, so we've got to move on. I don't have time to give this whole thing, but basically Season 2 and Heroes for Hire, we're not going to see Iron Fist, according to Chiyo Hodari Coker, in this first season. It's all about Luke Cage. He's hoping that there will be a Season 2. He's not counting on a Season 2. He's crossing his fingers that he gets it, and he seems to be hinting at in these quotes that maybe Iron Fist will come into Season 2 and they will do Heroes for Hire. And Luke Cage season 2.
That'd be so cool. Yeah. So that's another entire flavor. Yeah. That's another whole new world.
Oh my god. So
then we get Misty Knight, Colleen Wing.
Oh, and then we get the Fearless Defenders or like Daughters of the Dragon. Yes.
Come on,
all right. So let's go to Mary Marvelites real quick. We've got some shout outs to call out. Do you have your iTunes pulled up here, Crowboy?
Go ahead.
Kyle George at KEGeorge94 had to call in sick today for work, but day brightened by the realization of watching Marvel Movie News Live. So, Kyle, get better. We're sorry that you're sick.
Yeah.
Glad you got to miss work. You got to watch our show, but get better, man. Drink lots of water and some orange juice. That's what my fiance would tell me. Brian 8057 at Brian 8057 says love the podcast, emoticon smiley face. At Rin Tobin says, on my birthday, who could ask for more? Can't wait to watch the live show. Koi, give her a sexy birthday shout out, please.
Who's the name?
Catherine Tobin.
And it's her birthday.
She on my birthday. I think it's her birthday today.
Catherine Tobin. Thanks for joining us. Have a very, very happy birthday.
Ooh, so hot in here.
I never know what to say, but I like saying it.
I love that you went with like a Pam Grier beat.
At Mr. E Meat Shield, missed a few episodes of Marvel News, but glad I got to see episode 100. Shame Koi wasn't there. Gang feels incomplete without him.
Aw, thanks, man. Glad to be back.
So that's Meat Shield.
Thanks, Meat Shield.
Jack Fern at Logan Wilson 93. Hey, Jack, how are you, buddy? Says happy birthday. Make sure to ask for a sexy shout out from Koi Jandro. That is because my birthday's on Saturday. So Koi,
your birthday.
My birthday is on Saturday. It's this October 1st.
Darren, when's your birthday?
May 19th.
That was actually year.
I was here for my birthday.
That's right. Yeah, he was. Nice. He was. So, Koi, at some point, I think you've got to give me a sexy birthday shout out.
I think I might have to record it on the phone and let the audience hear it next week, because that might be not a PG-13 audience based.
Oh, boy. All right.
Thanks, dude.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Brian Lake at Brian Lake 79. Friday isn't just Luke Cage Day. It's also my birthday. Would love a shout out. Brian Lake, happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
It's a great gift.
There you go.
Johnny Cross at Johnny C. Blaze. You know Johnny Cross.
Yeah,
Johnny Cross. The gift that keeps on giving is Johnny Cross. A shout out to you, bro, for hanging with the Marvel crew. Talking to you, Darren Jakes.
Thank you, Johnny Cross. I am super excited to be here.
Someone in the live chat asked if that was the guy with the Amazing Family, and I was like, indeed, it is.
The Amazing Family,
thank
the
you
Jakes. Teresa Luz, I'm still at work. Can you please give your Portuguese fan a shout out, please? Of course. Teresa is one of my Doctor Strange fans, and she and I go back and forth on Twitter all week. Well, I'm awful at Twitter. We would go back and forth on Twitter all week if we could. I'm going to ask this question to you guys super, super fast. Mm-hmm. Based on Disney and Marvel talking about the next decade, 2020 to 2030. This is my question, not a Twitter question. I just want to throw this out at you guys and think while we're asking these others. What property would you like to see most brought in 2020 to 2030? Like, new property, doesn't exist, going to be a film that Marvel's doing. So think about it. Ashley Hutchins, any idea on who Sam Neill is playing in Thor Ragnarok? So earlier this week, he revealed that he had a small part I don't think it's a big part. I'm not expecting anything big. I think Sam Neill is just like good friends with Taika Waititi and Jeff Goldblum. Yeah. So
life found a way, man.
Yeah. So sorry, I don't actually have an answer on that. Do you guys have any thoughts on that at all?
I think he's going to be related to either the Collector or he's going to be like one of the higher beings, in my opinion.
Oh my god!
Because
that
think
would be
of the presence
best.
Of Sam Neill. You can't have Sam Neill be like a golfer.
I am Sam Neill. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's gonna. I think he's going to be alongside Jeff Goldblum and.
Oh, he's one of the elders.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's so cool. That's such a good idea. All right, I'm gonna have to look into my elders because like the only one I'm thinking of is like I can't like the speedster, but he's like the racer and he has like the time gem and he
I don't know the elders
it was in the
well,
Thanos
man.
Quest. I can't remember his actual name. Oh, the gardener. Oh, that would be so cool. But he's actually got the time stone. No, anyway. Sorry.
By next week, that'll be all formed thought.
Nice. But by the way, along with this question, I'm thinking back to a comic book that never gets any love, and it's called the Thanos Quest. I believe it's written by Jim Starlin, and it is, honest to God, one... did you hear me doing Jeff Goldblum all the time? It is... it's life honest to God, one of my favorite. Like, it's a top, like, 10, top 15 comic for me, and it's very philosophical. It is just Thanos going about getting the Infinity Gems. That's all it is. And it's a prequel to the Infinity Gauntlet and then the Infinity War and everything.
So it's like a supervillain scavenger hunt?
Yeah, but it shows like this weird depth of character and humanity to Thanos and it gives motivation to what he's doing. You like, by the end of the book, you're like, I kind of want him to win, but I don't at the same time because it means our death, but he's doing it for love. Like, it's really weird. So it's only two issues. And it's great. It is great. And I think you can buy it online for super cheap if you don't want to be illegal and torrent it.
Yeah.
Which, don't do that.
So, for your Marvel Disney question, though, Young Gods. I like for Marvel and Disney to do that.
Young Gods? What's Young Gods?
Young Gods. It's this whole thing where Heimdall with Thor. And Heimdall has to go on like this quest to get these gods. They're supposed to be the best representation of Earth. Huh. It's because it all goes with Thor's original mother. What's her real name?
Freya?
Not Freya. The one who's actually his mother. I forget her name. She's like everybody's mother.
Okay.
I forget her name right now. But in any case, it's this whole storyline where it's like to prove to these other guys that are coming back to Earth that Earth has the best that it can. Earth has the best that it can do. And then Young Gods and Heimdall like basically does like this scavenger hunt for members. And I think Disney would do it pretty well because they're very diverse. Huh. It's a diverse group, and Disney's great with aspirational actors, you know, that kind of a thing. So yeah, I think they could do a Young Gods kind of thing. It would almost be a little bit X-Men-y, but not as X-Men.
That's cool.
Yeah. So they could do that.
My answer to that question involves Fox, so it can't happen, but I can't get it out of my head. I've literally been trying to think of a property that I know is completely free and clear, and there's not any in my head, but I would love a Duffer Brothers-esque take on the 90s by way of Generation X. I would love like an actual X-Men in the mall, young, experiencing what it feels like to be left out, to feel slightly different, but in the 90s. So there's the nostalgia aspect, and there's also like Generation X, who are heroes we wouldn't see otherwise. That's what I'd want.
Yeah.
Well, Mallrats is always good.
I love Mallrats, one of my favorites of all time. I love Mallrats so much. That three person thing, that like three fictional characters. My big one was Brody.
I said,
oh my god,
because I'm,
so
I'm very much a Brody kind of guy. So yeah, Mallrats all day.
That.
Brian Yetman at Brian Yetman, can't wait for Luke Cage this Friday, gonna binge it. Do you think by the end of the series Iron Fist will show up? No, I don't think so. Dallas, this is a good one, at Dallas J. Stumler, got a free month of Marvel Unlimited, finish Immortal Iron Fist, about to start Doctor Strange the Oath, any other suggestions? So Marvel Unlimited, by the way, if you don't, and we're not sponsored to say this, by the way, but I
should be Marvel
Unlimited. We absolutely should be.
You should
I use Marvel Unlimited every day, like for a couple of hours. Like they've got like I think 17,000-18,000 comic book titles on there or issues. It's so good. It's like $5 a month.
Yeah,
like,
there's a special right now.
It's $5 a month.
Once again, this is not a commercial. We're just that excited.
You should
sponsor us so that all of us can not
we'll talk about this more often.
Give us free stuff, Marvel.
But
even
that'd be nice.
But Dallas, if I may, I've actually been I took Koi up on his offer or suggestion to read X-Men Legacy, the Legion stuff, and I'm six issues in. It's fantastic.
It's brilliant.
It's fantastic. It's so smart.
Excellent.
And I'm typically not a fan of the Spurrier stuff or the Remender stuff.
So good.
But this is so good. So that would be my that's my suggestion now. Check in with me next week and I'll probably have a completely different suggestion.
It only gets better. By the end of those 24 issues, you're like, it feels like reading a book you're supposed to read in high school again as an adult. You're like, I get why I was supposed to read that.
Yeah, it really does. It's so smart. It is so smart and so fantastic and working on so many different levels. So, Dallas, that's my suggestion to you. In terms of so that would be a Fox suggestion. In terms of Marvel stuff, I don't know. I'd have to think about it a little bit more.
Throw a couple in there?
Of course please. You can,
The thing that I want Marvel to do that they have started leaning towards a little bit, I want more comedy from them. Like straight up, like where Ant-Man was like starting to go. Mm-hmm. And I think the two properties that I could see them really doing it with, what I'm seeing right now in the Hellcat comic, but they obviously Hellcat's being used.
Right.
So She-Hulk because I think a comedy take with like a lawyer Hulk doing that. I think it could just be a fun either show or I think it's a better show, but it could be a movie. And this would be like towards like 2028 once it's become like true, like we're on the verge of fatigue if we're not there already. Mm-hmm. Great Lakes Avengers, and you just
Great Lakes is so fun
because you can take whatever and build it up with like whichever characters you want, whether a combination of what's already in there and bringing some other ones in, but just like the idea of like making fun of yourself that way with like, okay, there's superheroes everywhere, who like there would be crazy idiots like forming it in the middle of nowhere being the Avengers but with like not like the minimum of powers to do anything. Mm-hmm. And that could just be a fun thing that would feel very different but would still fit.
Yeah. You saying Great Lakes Avengers reminded me of Guardians of the Galaxy, the original run by Dan Abnett. Dallas, read that. Go read that right now.
Dallas, I recommend you read any of Duggan and Passane's Deadpool because it's current and it's the Deadpool you kind of get the movie flavor of. I recommend you read any Ultimate Spider-Man get your hands on. Any run is almost always guaranteed to be really good. And Straczynski's, I can't even spell his name, but J. Michael Straczynski's first half of his run on Spider-Man was like quintessential good right before it turned into the Spider-Man that I lost. So that is what I'd recommend you start with.
And also, Great Lakes Avengers is great, so go read that also, Doom.
I have a fair amount of Marvelite shout-out. Should I start?
Yes, you absolutely should, because we need to wrap up.
Yeah, I figured as much. We got a bunch. So I quickly want to apologize. The last 2 weeks that I did the show right before Matt came back, I wasn't able to do a lot of Marvelite shout-outs, and I missed a lot of birthdays. A very happy birthday to each and every one of you that sent something in. I read them all. I appreciated them all. I want to share them all, but now they've been about a month because I was gone. So happy birthday, guys, each and every one of you. On to today's Felix Perez. I want to have a quick sad moment first, then I'll go to the other happy Marvelites. Can I get a shout out for my friend Riley, who passed away yesterday? She loved everything Marvel.
Oh.
Felix, your friend Riley, big shout out. Much love, and I can't imagine what that feels like. And read a bunch of comics, escape a little, spend some time with people you love, like just both embrace and distract, you know, like read a bunch of comics, tell everybody you love them, because this stuff, you never know when it's going to happen. So to your friend Riley, I'm going to dedicate this show, and much love to you and yours,
and focus on self-care. Very important.
Yeah, take time. Seriously, take time.
Do it. Take the time.
Yeah, take the pressure off and go do what you've got to do, man.
So, yeah. Sorry much about love that. Out there. On to Brian Lake, 79. Happy birthday, Friday. I think we might have covered it, but I wrote it down too, so happy birthday for Luke Cage. And we have a question on our Facebook page, which took me some navigating, because, man, Facebook's not as easy as Twitter. We have Dallas asked, when it comes to the MCU, how do you watch the films? Do you take the movie in as a solo film or as part of the full MCU? For example, Civil War, do you see it as a Captain America film or do you watch it as advancing the universe? Me, personally, I try to see them all individually, the first view, and then the second view expanded. I try to judge them as an independent source. That way I can see how the films are evolving. But then the second time I go back, I try to go like...
I agree
and
with
assemble
that.
It.
I agree with that.
Yeah, so sure. I think it's that important works. To go with both. I think that the better ones are independent and film the universe. Yeah. And I think the folly of certain ones, aren't I too, is that they try to only be a connecting instead of their own entity.
Yeah, you caught that Iron Man too, right?
Yeah.
How much are you talking about?
It was an early stumble.
Yeah, it was very early, to be fair. And then very quickly, iTunes shoutouts. Kryptonite315, State Trooper, and... their little newborn baby, Joshua Eli, turned 3 months old. So,
aww,
happy birthday to a very new Marvelite. I want to thank a user named Upset and Hungry, who is doing his third tour overseas that listens to us overseas all the time. Wrote a very long, very heartfelt review that's amazing. It's like a full two paragraphs. And my favorite part of it was that he is proud of the things we say and proud of the way we say it, and at least talking about these issues and expressing your opinions, even if you don't agree with them. And he likes to have conversations with his boys overseas about Marvel, thanks to us. So thanks, man. That's the best way. Conversations have to have two sides. Otherwise, you're just talking to a wall or you're surrounding yourself with very boring people.
Yeah.
So I agree. And thank you for seeing it that way, because that's the goal here. A few people in between the last 2 weeks get really upset Max was on and did a lot of swearing, and I'm sorry he has a mouth. I too have a mouth, but I've learned on live TV to tame it down. I'm sorry to everyone that was offended by Max, and I don't appreciate everybody yelling at me, but I love Max. He's a good dude, and I'm sorry for any young ears that caught a lot of F-words, because I'm sorry, that's not usually our show. Also to Casey12345, thank you for the love. Hoovy and Claner in the TARDIS, great name, we appreciate it. 196204, we are a really great podcast, I appreciate it. Volley05ful left us a wonderful long review talking about how we got him into comics, how he's going to local comic book shops,
nice,
how he's buying comics on eBay, buying stacks and stacks of comics, and that we are essentially Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, that we got him into those specific comics.
Yeah,
those are great, so I appreciate that. And the last two, we got LukeW10, thank you for the review, and So Long by RS Kid. Yeah, boy. So thank you guys, I appreciate it, and a lot of love, guys. Thank you.
Woo. All right. I've got a few more questions that were asked and a few more comments. We don't have time, so I moved those to next week already. Like, they're already in next week's show. Eddie Brock had some really awesome tattoo
those
art.
Tattoos are amazing.
We'll show them next week. We don't have time. I apologize, Eddie. I promise we'll get to them.
And Huntress Mai's jury duty photo is incredible. We'll show that next week, too. The one I showed
you. Yeah.
All the things.
All right. We've got to go. I apologize, everyone, that we've gone so long. Coy, where can we find you? What do you got going on?
Find me at Coyjandro, at Coyjandreau. You do it exactly like that. I didn't even realize. I have a really cool VR thing coming out in the near future. I'm not sure where it's going to premiere and what's going to go on with it, but it's rad. And then at the end of next month, we're doing our third year of the Rocky Horror Hipster Show. I've tweeted out the poster. It's going to be free, but it sells out really quickly. It fills up. It's insane.
And it's only in Los Angeles.
It's only in Los Angeles, but I'm very proud of it. Come to LA, check it out. It's amazing. And thank you guys.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Markeia McCarty. That's MarkeiaMccarty. Did you see the cadence? There's the cadence.
It'll take me a few shows, but I'm going to get it.
Snapchat is Darth Thin Mints, as in Vader, and Girl Scout Cookies. And I have joined the Revengers, which is a comic book improv troupe where they have their own canon that's established from each improv show. But the great thing is, yes, they are only in Hollywood. They have a show this Saturday at 7 p.m. at PAC Theater, which is pay what you can. But the great thing is that they also record each one of their shows, so I will be putting that online.
Nice!
So, you know, you can't really tape live theater, and I wonder how improv's gonna look live, but you're gonna see it. I'll put it on my Twitter.
That's awesome. Darren Jakes.
Thank you. You can catch me on Instagram or Twitter at Darren Jakes. That's DarrinJaques. I do reviews of some shows, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and you can catch After Doom on AfterBuzz, and that's at YouTube/DWJakes, DWJAQUES.
Nice. All right. I'm Matt Key at The Matt Key. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you next week when we've all enjoyed Luke Cage.
Yeah, I'm so excited! Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.
All right, hey. All right, good job, guys. Let's just not come in tomorrow. Let's just take a day.